Hello, this is the Hope Channel. Welcome to Higher Ground. I'm Barry Black. I want to talk to you today about triumphing over trouble. Do you have challenges? Do you want to experience triumph as you face your challenges? Come with me to Higher Ground. I'm Barry Black. Welcome to Higher Ground. Lord, lift me up, and I shall stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. The purpose of this program is to help you and me go to the next level in terms of spiritual fitness. And one of the ways we can do that is to learn how to triumph over trouble. Three times before I was a teenager, I came home from church school to discover that my family was evicted. Our furniture was on the street. And I can tell you, that's a life of trouble. So you had a bad day. And yet, God blessed me and my seven siblings in a female-headed household to triumph over trouble and to be extricated from an environment of poverty and pathology. The children of Israel were in trouble. They were in big trouble. They were captives, carried away into Babylon. While they were in Babylon, they were so depressed that they placed their harps on the willows. They didn't even want to sing. There were false prophets who told them we should rebel. We should try to escape. But thank God there was a true prophet by the name of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah gave these captives some very strange advice. He told them, settle down in your captivity. Plant some trees. He told them, form families. You're going to be here for a while. In fact, you'll be here for 70 years. But God is going to bring you out. And then in Jeremiah 29, beginning with verse 11, he talks to them about what God is thinking and feeling about them. He said, this is what God said, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Isn't that a wonderful promise for people who are in trouble? I know the thoughts that I'm thinking about you. And they are thoughts not to keep you in captivity forever, but they are thoughts to to prosper you, to give you a future, to give you a hope. If you're going to triumph over trouble as these captives did, there's six words here that will help you do it. And the first word is thinking. Rejoice in the fact that God is thinking about you and thinking about me. No matter what I am going through, He is thinking about me. Jesus said in His Sermon on the Mount that the hairs on your head are numbered. Not counted, but numbered. You're graven on the palm of His hands, Isaiah said. He's thinking about you. The sovereign God of the universe, who choreographs the movements of planetary systems, is thinking about you and me. And whatever we're going through, He's got thoughts about us. There was an old country western song that Willie Nelson used to sing. Anybody ever heard of Willie Nelson? Willie Nelson used to sing, "You are always on my mind." Now, from the lyrics of the song, this guy wasn't showing a great deal of evidence that he was always thinking about his beloved. But I can assure you that you are always on the mind of the sovereign God of the universe. My military career forced me to be separated from my family for 6 months at a time. My son was less than 2 weeks old when I had to deploy to the Mediterranean for 6 months. It was one of the most painful things I have ever done in my life. And I can tell you that during that 6 month period, not a single hour of a day that I was conscious and not sleep went by when I did not think about my family and long to be with them. They were always on my mind. In the same way, whatever you're going through, I want you to know that God is thinking about you. Remember Israel? 400 years in slavery, 400 plus years crying out to God. But he was thinking about them. And when Moses encountered him at an ever-burning, yet never-burned bush, God said to Moses, "I have seen the afflictions of my people. I have heard their cries." God was thinking about His people. There's a second word, and that word is peace. God is not just thinking about you and me, but He is thinking thoughts of peace and thoughts of prosperity. He wants to give us serenity. He wants to give us fulfillment. Jesus said, "The thief comes to destroy, but I have come," John chapter 10, verse 10, "that you may have life and may have it more abundantly." God is rooting for us. Ephesians 3:20 says He is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we can ask or think, according to His power working in and through us. He is thinking thoughts of peace. He desires that you triumph over your troubles. He may not move when you want Him to, But in his time, he will bring you out more than a conqueror. Joseph was cast into a pit, but God had a plan for his life. God had already given this young man dreams. Joseph, as a child, was dreaming of preeminence. God's thoughts for Joseph were thoughts of peace. He would become prime minister. That was God's plan A for his life. God has a plan A for your life. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Ports of peace. But then there's a third word on the board, and that word is in. His thoughts are not only to give you a future, a hope, but to give you an expected in, to bring you to a desired destination. And I have a confession to make. I know I'm a 27-year Navy veteran, but I am navigationally challenged. I get lost. And I believe one of the reasons why I get lost is because of gender. Men just don't have the sense of direction that women seem to have, and they certainly don't have the humility to ask for directions. The journey from Egypt to Canaan should have taken less than a month. Took more than 40 years. A man was leading them. A woman would have stopped and asked for directions. But God has a desired end that he wants to take us to. And with my navigationally challenged self, I discovered something that has helped me. It is called a GPS. I just punch in the destination. And I have a voice in my car directing me to an expected end. I see scenes that I don't expect to see. I go across streets and highways that I've never even seen before. But eventually, sometimes after hours of driving, that GPS says, I am suspending my guidance because your destination is right ahead on your left. In the same way, the sovereign God of the universe, who is thinking about you and thinking thoughts of peace, if you will trust him, he will enable you to triumph over your troubles. He will bring you to an expected end. And oh, what a glorious end it will be. I said in another telecast, and when I was 8 years of age, I memorized a narration record. It was the sermon of Peter Marshall, the 56th chaplain of the United States Senate. I had no idea that God's expected end for my life was that I would be the 62nd chaplain of the United States Senate. But he has an expected end. And I believe one of the reasons why, of all of the records my mother could have brought home, she brought home that record of Peter Marshall, was because God was placing a marker in my life. He had those thoughts, I believe, before I was even born, and probably before Marshall was born. And he has those thoughts for you. I want to bring you to a desired destination. So if God is thinking about me and thinking about you, thinking thoughts of peace, thinking about how he's going to get us to our desired destination, what do we need to do? We need, my friends, to submit. We need to submit to his plan, submit to his will, submit to his way, even if that plan is circuitous, even if it takes us on a labyrinthine trail. We must trust him and know that his plan A is best. That road will often mean trouble. David was anointed king as a teenager, but he had to flee as a fugitive from King Saul. His life included submitting to a plan that meant challenges and difficulties and trials and tribulations, but he was able to triumph over his troubles. And time again throughout Scripture, we see people who, in their effort to achieve all that God wanted them to achieve, to experience God's plan A, they had to submit. That is what seeking first the kingdom of God is all about. It is saying, have your own way, O God, have your own way. You are the potter. I am the clay. Mold me, make me after your will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. What if the clay rebelled against the potter? I'm not looking like I want to look just now. In fact, I'm looking rather unattractive right now. What if the clay rebelled against the potter? How silly, how foolish. For the potter knows the vessel he or she is attempting to create. We must trust God's plan and trust the potter and submit to his will. In Gethsemane, our Savior did not want to die. He spent 30 years in preparing for a 3-year public ministry. He did not want to die. In Luke chapter 22, he prayed, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But then in submission to the will of the Father, he was able to triumph over that challenging situation. Let thy will be done. I'm so glad he submitted to the Father's will. There were people trying to get him to come down from the cross. Come down from the cross and we will believe you. Even the criminals who were being crucified with him were cursing him, Matthew chapter 27 tells us. And yet, in submission to the will of the Father, he permitted nails to be driven through his hands and through his feet. In submission to the Father's will, he permitted a crown of thorns to be jammed upon his head. In submission to the Father's will, he gave his life a ransom for many. If you're going to triumph over trouble, submit to the Father's will. And then there's that fifth word. That fifth word, the word hope. The word hope. If God is thinking about me, his thoughts are thoughts of peace. He wants to bring me to an expected end. but I need to submit, then I need to live in hopeful expectancy. Something good is going to happen to me. If his plan is a plan that is going to bring me to a desired destination, I have every reason, and you have every reason, to live with hopeful expectancy. He's promised in Philippians 4:19 to supply all of our needs according to his riches in glory. We can live with hopeful expectancy. He promised in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, and in everything, he is working for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. We can live with hopeful expectancy. You see, if I know that God's plan is to prosper me, to give me an expected end, there is no reason, no matter what the trouble may seem like, for me not to have hope and joy and peace. I love Peter in jail in Acts chapter 12, knowing that he was scheduled for execution, and yet he's sleeping so soundly in jail that the angel has to tap him to wake him up. He's not pacing back and forth. I love Paul and Silas in Acts 16, singing songs of praise, living with hopeful expectancy, because they knew that God had a plan, and his plan will enable us to triumph over all of the difficulties. As Paul was about to be executed by Nero, or one of the Roman emperors, he wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, "For I am now ready to be poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand." 2 Timothy 4, beginning with verse 6. "I've fought a good fight." Here's a man dying with hopeful expectancy, living his life to the full, to the very end. "I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The enemy may think he has destroyed me, but there is a crown of righteousness waiting for me, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all those who love his appearing." You see, my friend, not even death can separate you and me from the love of God, Romans chapter 8, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We can live with that hopeful expectancy because we know that we are not creatures of time, but we are creatures of eternity. Paul says, "I've got a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." And finally, we must seek that God who's thinking about us, that God who's thinking thoughts of peace, that God who wants to bring us to a desired end. We need to seek that God. Well, verse 13 of Jeremiah 29 says, "You will seek me and find me when you have looked for me with all your heart." Intensity matters. James 5 says, the effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous avail much. That is why when our blessed Lord was in Gethsemane, he sought God with such passion. His face was disfigured. His disciples barely recognized him. That is why Hannah sought God with such passion in 1 Samuel chapter 1 that Eli the priest thought that she was inebriated. When you seek God with all of your heart, the promise is you will find him. And so, my friend, the troubles will come. Job 14, verse 1 says, people born of woman is but a few days and full of trouble. But there is a sovereign God who is thinking about you and me. His thoughts are of peace. He's going to bring us to that desired end. We will triumph. We will be more than conquerors. And so we will submit. Have your way, God. Have your way. And we will live with hopeful expectancy. For we have a hope that burns within our hearts. Hope in the coming of the Lord. And we will seek him with passion and intensity. For he has promised, keep on seeking, and you will find.